You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Of course, it is a Technology Tuesday right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. The name of the show, it is a Business Sense. And today we're talking about the impact of technology on the agricultural sector. You'd know that technological innovations have greatly shaped the agricultural sector throughout time, from the creation of the plow to the GPS-driven precision farming equipment. Humans have developed new ways to make farming more efficient and grow more food. We are constantly working to find new ways to irrigate crops and breed more disease-resistant varieties. Now, these are iterations are key to feeding, which I think is very, very important. Feeding the ever-expanding global population with a decreasing freshwater supply, which kind of creates problems for us as human beings. And here to help us make sense of that, it is Justice Mukwebo, who is already on the line. Good evening, Justice.
Good evening, Tapelo. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And yourself?
You know, we always shine in the side.
We
don't want to leave any stone on top of our happiness.
Fantastic. We really don't want to be doing that.
if you leave any stone on top of your happiness, you never know. You could be putting gold on top of
your happiness.
And that rock is very heavy.
definitely. I mean, rocks are very, very heavy and you don't want them, right? I'm happy to hear from you, man, once again. Thank you so much once again for joining us this evening. Really appreciate your time as always. We're talking about the impact of technology on the agricultural sector, and I wanted to say the implications that are then associated with that. But I want us to start here. Is there even an impact? Let's start there. Maybe we are, you know, trying to talk about something that does not necessarily exist and we're creating a problem. But is there an impact that you've seen in the agricultural sector when it comes to, you know, technological changes before we even get into the nick of things here?
Yeah, we might as well just start or end the conversation.
Exactly.
Right here. Before we go any further, we can't discuss something that is non-existent.
Exactly.
So much to discuss. But yes, I do agree. There is a very significant impact.
Yeah.
And when it comes to technology towards the agricultural sector as a whole, from, you know, your small scale farmers, the back door garden, to your large cooperative farmers, right?
Yeah.
There is a very great big impact.
Oh, that's really interesting, because I was thinking about this on my own to say, I mean, we grew up in, you know, most of us in places that are rural areas where our mothers, our parents used their own ways. And to a large extent, they still do even today, right? To produce some of the food that we ate in the house, you know, some of the vegetables and everything, and would literally be doing this thing with them every day. And then you wonder, you get to the big cities where there's now a demand for certain type of foods and all that. Perhaps maybe there you'd expect that maybe there's an impact in technology. But just how big this thing is something that I was thinking about as I was coming and thinking about this particular topic. But what are the different forms then of technology? If we are saying, yes, there is an impact, what are those types of technology that are used in the farming and I suppose then the entire agricultural sector?
Yes, like we've been talking about technology from the get-go and until today, this is another part that makes technology more interesting, because now technology is in practice.
Yeah.
And it's in practice for something that we can look at and say that this is very beneficial for our economy.
Yeah.
Because we do know that agriculture forms a big part of the country's GDP, the country's economy. But as to go to how these advances have been in terms of technology, which most of the aims was to increase efficiency and the productivity, as well as merging up the sustainability, like you mentioned. Some of this technology, looking at the GPS technology that is mostly used in farming to map up areas as to where can we like properly have a farm, properly do this and that, the sensors that do all the data analyzing and optimizing field operations. This is one key part where technology comes into place in today's time.
Okay.
Where, let's take it for instance, back where I come from, there are a lot of macadamia trees.
Yeah.
So those farmers, before they plant those macadamia trees, they need to make sure that everything is scaled properly.
Mm.
The land is in a type of way that the trees, when they grow up, they will be able to grow up properly.
Mm.
And you wouldn't have to guess, okay, if there's wind coming, what's going to happen to the trees? So these helps a lot when it comes to the farmers farming precisely as to what they for them to be able to yield a perfect produce or more produce, or to sustain the trees, because those trees are going to be bearing fruits for a very long time. Not only macadamia, we can talk about orange trees that are highly farmed also in Limpopo. So many trees that have to grow up and stand tall for many years. The GPS technology helps them do this and helps them to also analyze the data that they are going to be having. We can talk about drones.
Eh? Yeah.
A lot of people are flying drones during weddings, and you know, before Tabelo gets married.
And funerals.
Yeah, you see, drones are flying. You know,
yeah.
They've become the closest airport that we can have.
Yes.
Just behind the DJ desk there.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, drones are very much working in terms of agriculture.
Yeah.
They help a lot with their sensors to go around the entire farm. You know, I'm going to go back home in Limpopo, where the farmers are also using this drone technology to assess the plant health and also identify the potential issues when it comes to their large fields. Maybe checking out for monkeys and also some baboons that could come and eat their plants. The drones are working there to do that. And some of these drones are now used to also dispense the pesticides that for pests that can come and eat the plants inside the farms, that which can be widely used in many places. And all these are embedded in the Internet of Things, because there's data collection here. Now, when we talk about Internet of Things, this is some of the cores of technology that we can say that these are different forms that are being used on a daily basis. Monitoring livestock management. These are just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. And also being able to predict weather. This all falls under Internet of Things, because you can now use your cell phone or your smartphone to predict the weather, to check how is it going to rain, the climate change, because all those things affect your crop yield in a very, very large space. Then we can also talk about robotics inside the farming, right? It's part of technology, another form of technology that is highly used. Robots that have been used to do tasks like planting. I was making an example with one of my colleagues this afternoon, talking about the interview. I was like, you do know that the tractors these days, one tractor does a job that could have been done by 100 people, by 200 people, because one tractor that is seemingly being driven from the office or given instruction to plow, it is going to be throwing the seed. The same tractor is going to come back and harvest. The same tractor is going to come back and do many sort of things, or even disperse the pesticides on the plants without any person being there. So these are just, maybe on a nutshell, some of the forms of technology that are highly used, and not forgetting what we have basically eaten every day, the biotechnologically modified organisms, the GMOs, so as they're called. You know, the soybeans are being made with technology. The maize seeds are being made with technology. Different kind of seeds are being made today. And this is just, maybe in a nutshell, a few forms of technology that is being used in farming, not only here in outside of the countries where they are. Countries that and continents that are highly developed, but even here in South Africa.
To me, as I listen to you, and I really love the points that you're making around drones, GPS farming, I suppose underlying the data collection that one needs to make better decisions around where to farm, how to farm, when there's an imminent storm and all those sort of things, and you can be able to see all those things. It sounds to me this is more geared towards commercial farming than farming that's just for subsistence.
Some of this on a high scale, right? Like maybe say the GPS farming, your backyard does not need GPS farming, right? You just have to get a patch of land.
Yes.
And if you have money, yes, you can go take some soil samples and take it to the labs so that they can test your soil and see what's missing on your soil. But if it's just, you know, your backyard or maybe Kimokoma High, where you know that you've got a large amount of fertilizer coming from the cows that just passed by, or maybe you've got a crowd there, you can use things like your cell phone, which still applies as technology, to find out when should I farm this and this and that. Because you'll be planting your spinach in a season that they cannot grow in that time of the season. Because I can literally just go on my phone right now. Remember, this is Internet of Things now. It's still technology.
Yeah.
I can still go on my phone, get on the internet, and check what can I plant in my village, type the region where I'm coming from. They know the climate. They know the climate change and how it's changing. So the internet now can be able to tell me what should I plant and what kind of vegetables can I plant in June, what kind of vegetables can I plant in summer, based on the type of climate, Yako Venda, because me, I'm from Venda, and there's only summer and winter there. The rest of the season. So they know that, okay, in Venda, it's only summer and winter. Now you can plant this during this large period of the 6 months, and other part of the year, which is winter, you can plant this kind of plants, and they will grow very well. You know, that is still going to work for, you know, feeding your family. You would still need the technology to find out.
Yeah, I suppose I was asking this question because there's two aspects here which I'm hearing quite very well. It's that there's obviously costs involved with this new technology, right? For any productivity to go up, for any, I suppose, returns to be made and all that, right? Because if you are farming for commercial purposes, the quicker, the easier, the more you can at the shortest time and all that kind of brings back the money. And so some of our commercial farmers maybe who are listening might be thinking, okay, so there is an impact for this. But directly the cost, and if you're doing it at a subsistence level, there's need for one to go back and say, wait, do I actually need the drones, you know, and justify the cost of that? Because you are farming for subsistence more than anything. So there's the issue of the costs. But related to the costs, I see an issue of whether you're farming for commercial or for subsistence, you don't want to be left behind, right?
Definitely.
Of what's happening in the industry that you're in and the changes that are coming there that are impacting you at the end of the day, you know. And also you want to make sure that you reduce, I suppose, labor and all those sort of things that are associated with doing some of this. And this is what it appears to me is the business case for technology that's being used in the agricultural sector, whether it's for commercial purposes or whether it's for subsistence farming. And that, for me, is becoming very critical in this particular sector. Which then moves me to my next question, which has to do with the fact that the technology that we are talking about, can we trace then the impact so far? And you would know, the world is talking about impact. We're all talking about you know, the theory of change and all those sort of stuff, depending on what industry you're in. But can you trace back a little bit, and are there observed impacts or changes in the agricultural sector that one can pinpoint directly to the changes in technology?
That point can... Maybe we can actually put it in a sense that it all goes, you know, varyingly based on where you are. You know, access to infrastructure.
Yes.
Before maybe we can even talk about the entire Africa as a whole, we can just literally talk about South Africa as it is. You know, things are not the same in different places. You know,
definitely.
In Gauteng, things are not... Farming in Gauteng is not the same. You know, in Gauteng, you can literally see crops, the whole, like, you know, maize crops, like whole year, you know, being farmed, but which is different from how it is maybe in Limpopo or the Eastern Cape, you know, because of the kind of infrastructure they could be having at that point. And also, I mean, the government policies in different countries and how things are. But there are a lot of positive impacts that have been there, you know. the increase in productivity, which is something that we can really look at and say that there are times where we can have droughts, there are times where we can, you know, maybe you've got land that you don't know how you're going to make produce from. And technology has already has made some great improvement in those areas, and which has led to high yield crop productions and also better livestock management. We do have, like, you know, livestock in the country that are very much immune to a lot of diseases, and this is because of how they were bred, and being bred in that regard, there was technology involved, right? The knowledge that was being used, the analysis that was being used. Some of these animals that have stemmed from some insulins that were inserted into their bodies, and other modified chemicals that were inserted into their bodies so they can resist different types of diseases, and also survive in different kind of climate conditions. Maybe it's a sunny area, or maybe it always rains. And you often hear that there are diseases that are affecting the animals. And technology has improved in a way that we have been able to develop certain chemicals that can help these livestock to survive. And that's one of the biggest impacts that we can actually pinpoint. The access to information, which is so much very, very, very crucial. Like right now, you and me are talking and we are speaking about this impact. We're talking about this agricultural system. We're talking about this technology. This is all because we had access to information. Farmers, if you can trace back as to how our fathers and parents would farm, they would predict. They still do today. You know, they would go to farm. I remember I used to farm with my grandmother, and I would accompany her to a small patch of land that she would farm in the middle of the bushes there. So when she's going there, she would be praying, she would be hoping that it will rain, because they would start farming sometime in September, farming that maybe in December will be eating corn, you know. So they would be praying that it should rain. But then with the introduction of weather focuses on radio, this actually transformed how they are farming now, because they would actually rely on the weathermen to speak about the weather forecast on radio, and you would actually advise the grandmothers about how they should farm. And as time goes on, these genetically modified seeds were starting to be distributed into the community, so that now at least, even if it doesn't really rain, they could still produce some crops that will sustain their families, because this was one of the ways that our parents could actually sell a bag of millet to make money, and also maybe use it to sustain the family, maybe in winter or throughout the year until they make another crop production. So this is just maybe some of the things that I can, the impact of technology that I can just pinpoint, tracing back to how we used to, our grandmothers used to farm. The market prices, so to say, you know. The list is endless. We can go on and on, but the access to information, to me, speaks hundreds and hundreds of words.
I love that. I mean, if we can just start by looking at Africa on its own, on the very same points that you're making, I suppose this discussion could even be stretched to tomorrow, just thinking about that impact and tracing it on the African continent. Because obviously, Africa is trailing a little bit in terms of technology, even in the agricultural sector as well. You know, it then leads us into conversations that say, what are we supposed to do? Right, because the impact of technology can clearly be, like I said, be proven. Right, there is a business case for that, and with Africa having a growing population, there is an even bigger business case for adopting technology and these new technologies into bringing in the agricultural sector for the purpose, I suppose, of food security and all those sort of stuff. Because as more people grow, as the population grows, there's a huge demand and a huge pressure that's placed on the agricultural sector to produce, you know, foods that are needed by the population and all that. So that becomes very important. Would you say drones are the leading technology in this space?
I would say that connectivity and the Internet of Things at this regard,
okay,
it's leading, right?
Yeah.
And when we talk about the IoT, it's something that is broad.
Mm.
It all encompasses almost everything. Mm. Because right now, with Internet and, you know, connectivity,
mm.
it brings about access to information, right?
Mm.
It brings about, you give you knowledge that you need to know. There could be a conference. I mean, let's just trace back to COVID.
Yeah.
During COVID, people were halted.
Yeah,
people were not able to do anything. But as soon as things started easing up, with essential services being in operation,
mm.
at that time, in somewhere in Northwest, somewhere in Mpumalanga, someone had some plants that they had planted. Someone had some vegetables that they had planted. They wouldn't be able to move around or go to the nearest road to sell, because they would be chased back home, right?
Mm.
And at that regard, perhaps maybe they were not even regarded as essential services.
Mm.
And even if they were not regarded, who would they sell to? Because no one is is on the street.
Yep.
But then things like courier services, they could be able to move around. So this also brought about the ease at which people could be able to sell their produce online on using your social medias, right, which falls under your Internet of Things, because now you're using your smartphone to capture your produce and say that I've got this amount of crop that I have. I want to sell it. There are guys here in the country that I know that are running an app that helps them solve hunger, right, by linking people with food and those that are in need here in the country, young people. This is information and internet of things, because now, instead of maybe going to stand by the road to beg, or maybe dying of hunger while you've got maybe a smartphone on your hand, or maybe even if it's not like a complicated smartphone, you can still have the app on your phone and be able to get food which solves hunger. This is Internet of Things, right? Because if it goes back, someone had to code the app, someone had to put information there, someone had to digitize, right? All these things had to be done. So I'm just bringing it back to say that I feel like at this regard, the Internet of Things and access to internet is just winning in this regard, because it has helped transform a whole lot of things.
Mm.
And
makes sense.
Let me just put it like that and leave it there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely makes sense. And I'm with you on that point. Advantages and disadvantages. I do think with any technological change, right, or advancement or whatever, there is, of course, a yes and a no. There's an advantage and I suppose a disadvantage as well.
Definitely.
With some of these methods that, technology almost challenges, changes and all those sort of stuff. What are some of the leading ones that we are seeing in terms of advantages and disadvantages of this technology in this sector?
Let me start with the controversial one.
Yeah.
Reduced labor requirements.
Everyone starts there.
It's controversial because it falls under disadvantages.
Yeah.
It is advantageous to a farmer that is farming, maybe starting up, and at least maybe they have the machines, right? They have their own tractor. He can drive the tractor. He will require less of labor, right? So, and it's also disadvantageous because in a village where perhaps maybe the farmer was employing 100 people in that village, which means 100 families were being fed. Now that he bought a sophisticated truck, he only needs 3 people.
Mm.
Someone who is going to supervise and someone who is actually going to fix those machines.
Yes.
If there's anybody in the village that can fix them, right? So it is a bit controversial. But then going back to some of the advantages, should be increased productivity and efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, this will lead to us being sustainable. We recently heard that Zimbabwe has got a lot of crops, right?
Mm.
And now it's ready to sell to other countries. This is good, you know?
Definitely.
And this just shows that technology was at play there. Even though there were people that were helping out, were working there, they still needed trucks, tractors, and now they're going to need trucks, right? They're going to need the information. Where did we hear the information from the news?
Yeah.
I don't have any Zimbabwean newsletter on my phone, but I found it on social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read it on your LinkedIn, right? Now, these are just some of the advantages of how, you know, technology has advanced and it is now embedded into technology, into farming, right? The access to information, which is just going to be something that is repetitive in our conversation. I went to Kenya sometime 3 years ago, and I learned a lot from some of the farmers there, how they were advertising their cocoa, their farming coffee beans there, and how they were using internet to actually advertise. Though they were so much great into keeping the labor in place, because that was some of their business model, to use the natural labor, which are people who are more skilled in doing the farming and also in applying the traditional method of farming the coffee beans. But they made it a point that most of their technology is used in marketing, which got them also to the conference, which got them to also be known. This is technology, and also access to information for people that were maybe listening from far away. Marketing opportunities, which is so much a key to business, a key to anything, even if it's just a backyard farming. You can easily maybe plant some mustard spinach or just spinach in your backyard. And by just putting it on the net, because you can't eat everything. Or maybe you've got 20 cabbages you were just trying out. And now you can only eat 10 of them. The rest of the 10, you can put them on your WhatsApp status, right? You can put them on your Facebook markets. So this is just another advantage of technology into modern farming that we can just maybe put in there. And the issue of climate change, so to say. But on the biggest of the disadvantages, we talk about job loss and relying on this technology. You know how much we have just relied on technology. Sometimes we don't do fact check, even if it's just our normal day-to-day conversation. I could just see something on the space, on social media, or maybe on maybe it's a tabloid, and I don't fact check, and then I come and tell you that, hey, they say that, okay, it's gonna rain tomorrow. Then you go and plant overnight. You spend all your hard-earned money, you plant, because I did not do my fact check, and then the next thing tomorrow it's scorching. It's scorching. It's Sahara, you know. And now your plants die, you lose your money. So the dependence in technology would come with those kind of risk of not being able to fact check. And one thing that we spoke last time, I was with my lady when we were talking, because you decided to disappear. But either way, we spoke about the danger of privacy and information. You know, if all this information is being embedded in the Internet of Things, there are threats of your information being stolen. Which means your neighboring farmer can easily tap into your system and steal your information, right? And farm using your information. Then the next thing you know, maybe they've got better ways of using your data and analyzing it. They are now marketing more than you are, or selling your selling the same thing, planting the same time that you're planting, maybe a bit earlier, and you end up not being able to have a good crop yield or sales in that regard. And some of the things that maybe these ones, I don't think maybe they've been spoken of much, but they used to be when these genetically modified organisms were introduced, is how they cause an impact on biodiversity and the ecosystem's health, right? Some of these crops are planted in order for them to be able to resist the pests. But then those same pests that you are trying to destroy or trying to kill, they are part of the ecosystem, which is something that we if we do not actually look at. The ecosystem needs those. You know, back in primary, we used to read, we learned about the life cycle and how one thing impacts the other. And now you don't have these insects, such as bees. They're no longer going to come there. And, you know, the chain of how cross-pollination is supposed to happen, it's gone. And even now, plants that are on the other side are actually going to suffer. Plants that are on the wild are now going to suffer, because we no longer have bees, because Tapelo and Justice Cooperative Farming has now destroyed all the bees in the in that said area. So which means other plants now are going to die, because there's no cross-pollination. So just maybe in a nutshell, to just share some of the disadvantages and advantages, the controversial one being the loss of jobs. So, and also the reduced labor requirements.
Yeah. Reminds me of something that I read. I mean, this must be a donkey years ago. I just don't remember the exact details on the issue of conservation there. And to the point that you're making, I think one of the problems that the African continent suffers with is the issue of malaria, right? Across many African countries. And so there's a huge drive, or there was a huge drive about 10, 20 years ago on how to reduce malaria. And so most of the funders, international funders, were like, okay, we'll come up with this chemical, whatever that you can, spray around, whatever in the lakes and what. And that's what they did. And it was really effective at bringing down the malaria and the spreading of malaria. But the unintended, which they didn't think about, was the conservation part of it, to say, okay, but this is an ecosystem. Yes, we understand no one likes to be bit by a mosquito and all that. But when we are solutioneering and coming up with solutions, it's exactly what you're saying, that we need to think about the end-to-end, right? To say, this technology, as we bring it, what's the unintended? What is the byproduct of it? What is it that it can do that we didn't anticipate? And so having a proper and full understanding of the impact of technology and all that is really, really important. Because yes, we might say, it's going to increase productivity. All good and well, it will increase productivity. But what is the effect of it psychologically? What is the effect of it emotionally, economically, from an environment point of view? What is the impact of that? And that, for me, becomes critical. And you're raising that very, very important point. And I'm saying, it reminds me of that as well, that we need to think about the end-to-end when we are coming up with solutions around some of these technologies that we are bringing to different industries. Like you said, it's putting other people under, the issue of unemployment, because now this machine can increase productivity more than a person can. It doesn't go on leave. It doesn't apply for sick leave, it doesn't strike.
It works tirelessly.
Exactly. Yeah. It works tirelessly. It doesn't strike and all that. Well, so if you think about a human being, it doesn't strike, right? It doesn't go on strike and be like, I want a certain wage and all that, and the whole thing comes down. And then it becomes easy for, farmers to just plug and play. Take out people, put in this thing. But what is the impact that is not intended, that is the unintended, that becomes really, really important. And I really like that point that you just made there. Which then brings us to the last bit, ethical concerns, because I do think that sometimes we don't even consider the ethical considerations of some of these advancements. They're all good and well. I think I saw somewhere where someone was writing an article about how, for instance, this ChatGPT has unintended, unethical issues that it's raising. and you hear lecturers speaking about, hey, we see you, students, we see you, you're using ChatGPT and all that. It's unintended. And everyone was jumping on it and thinking this can work, but ethically, from a plagiarism point of view and all that, it can't help you with that. You need to apply some sort of level-headed thinking and be a student at the end of the day and do your own checkings and all that. I am pretty much so, even with this one, there's some ethical considerations as well.
Yeah, I mean, technology as it improves, as it, because it feels like a baby every time.
Yeah.
Because one thing there is this, the next thing there is ChatGPT.
Yeah.
The next thing there is that, remember shortly maybe a year ago, we were talking about the Face app, and how everybody was so hyped about it, making himself younger, putting some beard on for Justice who doesn't have one.
Yeah.
All those things were interesting. So it feels like a baby. But then, yes, it is very important that we should take a look at how it's growing. And also, as it grows, we should take a look as well as the ethical concerns that needs to be addressed. And one of the major important, which while I was actually thinking around this topic that we're discussing, was the issue of how much access the smallholder farmers have with this technology, more especially in the rural community.
Yeah.
Is there equity, if they are small scale farmers, if it's my grandmother this side and maybe you, Tapelo, as a younger person on the other side, the access of, the amount of access to information and also these gadgets that you're going to be using is not going to be the same, right?
Yeah.
And maybe when we look at the rural rural areas and the urban areas, it's not going to be the same. So there is definitely going to be a lot of inequalities when it comes to how agricultural and technology is being driven by these two farmers. More especially when we look at how much yield they are going to be able to produce, both even financially and also in terms of the crop. Maybe my grandmother is able to produce a lot in the rural areas.
Yeah, certainly. And that, I suppose, is a conversation that we should continue to have as we think about these things.
Yes,
as well.
I think I lost you a bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Yeah, so you're just elaborating on the point of information and access to information and the ethical considerations there. And I was saying that these are conversations that I think are really important for us to continue to have as we look at these advancements in technology. As much as they are welcomed because they do help, but ethical considerations also still play a very important role. Okay, seems like we are losing justice there. So I'll see if... can you hear me now?
Yes, but I keep losing you a bit.
Sorry about that. It must be network. But I was just saying that I think you're raising some really important points there around access to information and how that can raise ethical issues as well. That I say we need to constantly have those conversations as we welcome this technology.
That is true. Maybe just the last one.
Yeah.
We can also talk about how automation and robotics in agriculture can also lead to job displacement for people, more especially for farm laborers.
Yeah.
Because now this affects them ethically, because now you're going to be moving from one point to another. And also it can really, really increase the unemployment rate in the rural areas, so to say, or maybe in countries here in Africa that are not well in advanced into technology. Some parts of the continent that are not yet there, they can be widely affected by this automation and robotics that maybe Farmer A would introduce in their large-scale farming. And now they're forced to move. Now they're forced to face or focus on something else that they can be able to do in order for them to ensure that their family is well fed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many countries in the continent that do have, like, agriculture as a backbone of that economy.
Yes.
So imagine in a case like that where technology would just be, like, boom, just like during the time where we had the first industrial revolution, then technology, this modern technology just happens in that community. Imagine the amount of ethical impact that it would have in that community when it comes to the people that are staying there. So we can actually look at it in also that regard, apart from maybe the access of information, which is another major concern, and also equity when it comes to two people that are farming in that area. So I think we can also look at it in that way. And, you know, I spoke about my grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, all people had their own ways of farming, which helped a lot, their traditional ways of farming. They had practices that were so much that could conserve even the soil in its way, that it could retain its naturalness instead of constantly putting, you know, manure and chemicals in the soil, which the soil would end up losing its effectiveness. And every time you would need to plant, you would have to have manure. Our grandparents had these things. They had their own way. They had their own way of even resting the farm. Like they would rest the entire farm for a good 2 to 3 months and just allow it to regenerate on its own naturally. And with the use of this technology, this affects that, and it disrupts the cultural knowledge that was there and that was actually left behind, that was supposed to go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And now it cannot, because now we are so much adapted and so much focused on the technology that we are using. So it definitely affects how the cultural identity and the heritage of farming we had in terms of how we grow crops in the communities.
Certainly. We've run out of time. And the one thing that I'm taking away just from that is that the end does not necessarily always justify the means, right? We still need to take into account ethical issues. How do we bring it home as we end this one?
Uh, in as much as we should be aware of this technology, I think we should also be able to know how to use it. You know, you said something about the constant teaching, the constant conversation, the never-ending conversation, because if a child is growing, we never stop talking and reprimanding that child. But in this case, we cannot reprimand technology, but we can actually better our farmers and the people that are applying this technology in a large scale, in a small scale, in whatever scale that they're applying to, as to how can they be able to use it in order to conserve what is there and also upgrade what they want to upgrade. Because now we're talking about AI, right? Automation, blockchain, IoT in agriculture. These are things that are constantly evolving and coming into our space, and we are going to be using them more and more. So I would say that people should get more knowledge about it, how to use it, because it's very important. Technology in all sectors, we need to understand how to use it to better things and also conserve that which is already there. Because if we need sustainability in the crop farming, we also need sustainability in our own mindset and our own ways of doing things.
I love that. That is a Justice Mukwebe. Thank you so much, Minyar. I think it was a beautiful conversation, eye-opening as well. And as always, your insights are appreciated.
Thank you very much, Tabelo. It's always a great time to spend with you guys here, and stay blessed.
Thank you so much. Stay blessed as well. Well, that was our conversation this evening around the issue of technology and how it affects the agricultural sector.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.